Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome in to the first Sunday of December. You may now start to officially say Merry Christmas. Now, you could have said it last weekend, but we welcome you into God's house. We welcome you into Long Meadow Church, the brethren. We welcome you today for the sermon titled Favored Status. And our scripture today is Luke chapter 1, verse 45. One verse. While you're looking that up, I thought I'd come up with a couple of little funny ones, and I borrowed them from a book. A little bit of one-liners, a little bit of dad humor going on. Did you know that Santa's helpers are called subordinate clauses? No? A bicycle that can't stand alone is because it's too tired? No? Wait a minute now, I'm going to get better. Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. When a clock is hungry, it goes back 4 seconds. Gets back 4 seconds? Get it? You guys are hurting me today. All right, last two. Here we go. Bakers trade bread recipes on a need-to-know basis. And marathon runners with bad footwear suffer the agony of defeat. I work so hard. Favorite status, Luke chapter 1, single verse, 45. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. As we come together, we begin to tell the story again. We begin to look toward that day when salvation came to the earth. Father, bind us together through these words and let us grow from them. Let us know, Father, that the truth is ever more real. And that truth is Jesus Christ. And in His name we pray. And all of us children said, Amen. Favored status. Now let me ask you if you have ever felt what I'm calling the sermon today. Favored status. Have you ever felt like a person who is favored? Your status is favored. Just say amen. Not too many people, huh? Well, you know, there have been many times in my life when I have felt that, but nothing in this world makes me, Paul Leatherman, feel like I have favored status than going to my most favorite restaurant in the entire whole wide world. And for those of you that think you know what it is, you're wrong. I never talk about it much, but I'm going to tell you a little story. Yes, that's right, boys and girls. It's now time for another chapter from Uncle Preacher Paul's stories. So settle back, and here we go. There is a place in Baltimore that I rank as the greatest restaurant on the face of this planet. Now, I found this place by mistake about this time in 2014. Many years ago, I was on my way to look at a job site. Now, this is not a joke. This is a true story. Many years ago, I was on my way to a job site meeting in the rain, and I passed by this restaurant, which for all intents and purposes looks like the building. If you ran up to it and kicked it really hard, it would fall over on its side. But the thing was, out front of the building was 1, 2, 3 smokers going wide open. And as I drove by in the rain and the cold and the smoke was rising up, I came to a screeching halt and pulled in the parking lot to look at the smokers. Because let's face it, when I see a smoker, I think that heaven is starting to gather up right there. And I rolled the window down and I waved the smoke into my car. Oh my goodness gracious, where has this place been all my life? And the man doing the cooking hollered at me from the cookers. He goes, get out the car and come look at them. Well, what? I can't. I'm late for a meeting. What am I going to do here? And I said, I can't. I'm late for a meeting. He said, well, come back. I said, I don't know if I can come back. And this man was the devil. Because he said, "Hold on a minute, feller." And he pulled the lid open on that smoker and hunked off a piece of beef, walked over and handed me through my window. And I started to cry. And I bit into that and I went. And I cried even more. I said, "I'll be back." He said, "I know." And so I took off to the meeting. And I'm sitting in the back of this meeting in the rain, listening to him talk about this job we got to do. And I'm prancing around and I'm trying to hurry him along, because just down the road that way is heaven. And I know if I get there, the sun's probably shining right there, even though it's raining, it's cold. And they got the meeting done. And I took off. And I pulled in the parking lot. And I was the only one there that day. And he come out the door to the smokers and he smiled and he goes, "See, I told you." And that began my friendship with Jake from Jake's Grill. Jake's Grill is this place up above Cockeysville over on Falls Road that makes Baltimore pit beef. It is the greatest food in my world. I like it. Are you ready? I love it more than I like going to Texas Roadhouse. I love it more than fresh scrapple on a Saturday morning that I've just prepared. And so when that job was going, which that job lasted a good 8 months, I went there every single week to get a pit beef sandwich that, I am not kidding you, is that big. And I would sit in the back corner of this little lodge of a thing. It had a wood stove burning, and they had a big screen television, which never seemed to quite work right. They had all kinds of different chairs and tables in a room that maybe went from this wall to right there. Just this little place. And I'm telling you, it looked like at any minute the place would fall over. And I would sit there and eat my sandwich. And I would talk to Jake. And his regulars would come in. And after about a couple of months, I would walk through the door of that place. And my sandwich would be on the counter. And people would holler when I came through the door, "Paul! Yes, that's me. And you got my sandwich." And he always had it right. And then Jake did the thing that made me feel favored. He said, "Come here, I want to talk to you." I said, "What?" He goes, "Now this is what this man asked me." He said, "Do you like chicken wings?" I said, "Does the Pope wear a funny hat?" He said, "I don't tell anybody this, but I make chicken wings and they're over on that there smoker. And if you're good, I'll get you some." I gave him my best Oliver Twist. I put my hands together like I said, "Please, sir, may I have some more?" And when I would come in, there would be my sandwich. And if he made them, he didn't even ask. There'd be a little package under my sandwich with chicken wings. Made his way. Now, I would tell people about this place, and they would laugh at me until I hauled them up there. And then they changed everything. It got so bad that Jake catered a BGE special event, and one of the people I know went there and knows how much I love pit beef and smoking, and was in line getting food, and Jake was standing there, and this guy was talking to Jake, and he says, "Man, I've got to tell my friend about this place. He loves pit beef." And Jake said, "Is that Paul Leatherman?" My friend said he almost dropped his plate full of food. It got so bad that we was in that area after I preached at a retirement home in Baltimore one Sunday, and I took my sons and my wife. I said, "We got to go to Jake's. We got to go to Jake's. We got to go to Jake's. We're right around the corner. We get to go to Jake's." And she's heard me talk about this, and she must have thought I was not necessarily telling the truth until we got out of the car and I come through the door. And Jake went, "Paul, who's that?" I said, "That's my wife." He goes, "Is she crazy?" And it went on like that. And I thought, because my business has taken me away from him, and I don't get to go see him. Matter of fact, I ain't been there for over a year or better. The last time I went to that place, it was like I'd never left. I got out the truck, and he was standing outside at the cookers. He goes, "Don't even bother going in there. Just give me your money here. Here, sit down and talk to me while we're cooking." And I said, "Okay." That's favored status. And yet, it really isn't. There's a wonderful story about a Chicago bank once asked for a letter of recommendation on a young Bostonian who was being considered for employment. The Boston Investment House could not say enough about the young man. His father, they wrote, was a Cabot. His mother was a Lowell. Further back was a happy blend of Saltonstalls, Peabodys, and other Boston first families. His recommendation was given without hesitation. Several days later, the Chicago Bank sent a note back saying the information supplied was inadequate. It read, "We are not contemplating using the young man for breeding purposes, just for work. Neither God is a respecter of persons, but accepts those from every family, nation, and race who fear him and work for his kingdom. He gives you favored status." That's us. All of the things that we can do in this world pale in comparison. All of the accolades that can be heaped on, all of it pales in comparison. When we think that we are favored, when we think that we have favor in people's eyes, when we think that we go in somewhere, nothing compares to what God sees us as. These are the words, and I had to make sure I got them. Are you ready? Demure, small, nothing, inconsequential, infinitesimal, irrelevant, meager, meaningless, minimal, minor, minuscule, negligible, paltry, pointless, senseless, trivial, insignificant are the words used to characterize Mary. Charles Eliot had a problem. He had a contract to build an engineering marvel, a suspension bridge over the Niagara River. But he had no way of stretching his first cables across the shores. Any boat that tried to cross the falls would be swept over. Then Eliot hit on an idea. If a kite carrying a cord could be flown across the river, the cord could then be used to pull larger cables and larger cables and larger cables until the work began. So Eliot announced a kite flying contest, and a young man named Homan Walsh responded. On Walsh's first attempt, the kite cord broke when it got caught too close to the river and got loaded with ice. But his next try succeeded in flying his kite to the opposite shore of the river. The vital link was established, and the bridge that stands today was built. Insignificant, small, demure, nothing. I hope you didn't close your Bibles up, because you would be sad if you did. Now let's do this right. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." But Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Favored status. Now, I want you to go back in time with me for a moment. I want to look at this thing all over again. During the Spanish-American War, Clara Barton was overseeing the work of the Red Cross in Cuba. One day, Colonel Theodore Roosevelt came to her and wanted to buy food for his sick and wounded Rough Riders, but she refused to sell him any. Roosevelt was perplexed. His men needed help, and he was prepared to pay out of his own funds. And when he asked someone why he could not buy the supplies, he was told, "Colonel, just ask for it." A smile broke over Roosevelt's face. Now he understood. The provisions were not for sale. All he had to do was simply ask, and they would be given freely. So we look off to this journey once again. We share this story once again. Two women whose only request was, "Lord, bless us." That's it. Don't give us a fine house. Don't do anything else. Just give us some sort of a blessing. Lord, just bless us. Mary even so much as did nothing but just her work. She just did her job. She just existed. She just praised God and expected nothing. And yet once again, we get to share this story. This beautiful thought in time. Two women in a backcountry room somewhere in the hill country of Judea are sharing joy alone with each other that they are going to have children. Oh, how wonderful it must be. I remember a December in 2002 when we were preparing for 2003 to get here, and Wendy was pregnant with twins. And I was running around to the store. We were going to have a, what do you call them things, a baby?
Jower.
Jower, that's it. I don't know. Anyhow, at that time of day, you could do this thing called registering. Can you still do that? Can you still register? Well, we went to the Toys R Us to register. And we got there, and it was a whole production. You came in, and the manager met with you, and a personal shopping guide met with you, and oh, it's so wonderful, and oh, you're so pregnant, and all this wonderful stuff is going on, and oh my goodness, you're having twins. Well, here's how it works. And they said, "Father, that's me." They said, "Hold this," and they give me a laser gun. And they said, I said, "What's that?" And they said, "You will be explained shortly." And they turned to my wife, and they made fuss over her, and they put a little thing on her, and they turned to me, and they said, "Okay, Dad, go around the store and merely point this gun and click at anything you think those children ought to have or things you think they need." And before they got the last part of that sentence out, I was already halfway through the store. Boop, 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 boop. Train sets, Lego, boop, boop, boop. And I hear off in the distance, "Slow down!" We had to do a little course correction. It was an exciting time. And yet it was so exciting to think about. These two women had been blessed so greatly by God. They had received favored status. Elizabeth is going to have a child, barren, and has been told what that child will be. And now Mary, inconsequential, small, demure, little Mary is about to achieve favored status. And they're together. And they're wonderful together. And they talk and they love and they have no clue what's coming. They don't know. They do not know that Jesus Christ is to be who he is to be. They do not know that John is to be who he is to be. Yet they have answered. They have said that they would do this. They answered the call. They accepted it in wonder and amazement that they had found favor. I think Christmas season is a time for us to remember something about ourselves. Something about myself. Let me read you a list of things that you need to remember about yourself. Are you ready? You are demure, small, little, inconsequential, infinitesimal, irrelevant, meager, meaningless, minimal, trivial, senseless, pointless, paltry, negligible, minuscule, minor. You are insignificant in all things that this world has to offer. And yet, because of our love for a Savior that is yet to be born to us, that we celebrate again, we have favored status. On a plaque marking Abraham Lincoln's birthplace near Hodgeville, Kentucky, is recorded this scrap of conversation. And I get to speak this in Appalachian American vernacular. And I can say these words. Any news from down to village, Jerry Ezra? Well, Squire McLean's done gone off to Washington to see that there feller Madison done be sworn in. Old Spellman tells me that that Bonaparte guy from over there done captured half of Spain. What's new out here, neighbor? Well, nothing. Nothing at all. Except for a new baby born over there to Tom Lincoln's place. Nothing ever happens out here in old Hodgenville, Kentucky. Some events, whether birthdays in Hodgensville or Bethlehem, or a spiritual rebirth in a person's life, may not create much earthly splash, but those of lasting importance will finally get the notice they deserve. And just like that, we again look to what is coming from this birth. Each and every one of us will get from the Savior that we know, from the Savior that we love, from the Savior that has come. Each and every one of us receives that love, that adoration, that key to the kingdom by simply proclaiming his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. We get to have with Jesus Christ and all the heavens and hosts on high, we get to have favored status. Amen. To become that person who enjoys favored status with Jesus. And we don't deserve it. We've done nothing to gain it in our small, quiet lives. And yet we do that one thing. We do that one thing. I believe in Jesus Christ, now and forever. And that gives us our favored status. May we approach his birth with joy and love and shouting and singing. And with the words, Merry Christmas. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the things that you have given us, Father, which are great and many, but the greatest is that of your Son, Jesus, who by his very birth favors us, who by his very life favors us, who by his very death and resurrection favors us, Father. And it all starts with his birth here on earth. A king born in a manger, a king born in the lowest point to rise to the highest, and yet favors his children. Father, let us be in contemplation of that as we start into this season. That the wrappings and the trees and all the beauty that is, all are there because of the birth of Jesus Christ. Remind us, Father, that above all else, we have favored status with you through your Son who we proclaim. In his name we pray and give thanks. Amen.